What a week to close out August. Let's pull back and identify the threads that are going to define the next several weeks. The Hormuz situation is the one with the fastest moving market implications. Any movement on the Oman transit framework, watch for it on a Wednesday or Thursday when diplomatic channels tend to be most active and when a weekend can be used to consolidate political cover. The Trump-Kim summit speculation is going to intensify as the fall calendar fills in, and the key signal to watch is whether the State Department quietly restores some diplomatic channel staffing that was drawn down after previous failed talks.
On the domestic political side, John Ossoff's Georgia strategy is one to track closely because if it works, if an anti-Trump Democrat can win in a Trump state by running at the president rather than away from him, it rewrites the Democratic playbook for 2028. Ramaswamy's spending problem in Ohio is the inverse lesson. Money does not substitute for candidate fit, and Republicans who learned the wrong lessons from Trump's success are going to keep running into that wall. And the Hope Florida investigation is worth following because relief fund scandals have a way of expanding once prosecutors start pulling the thread.
Kevin Warsh's Jackson Hole framing, AI as a factor of production, is the economic idea that will generate the most sustained debate in the coming months because it has direct implications for how the Fed thinks about rate cuts and the neutral rate of interest. If the committee starts incorporating AI productivity assumptions into its models, that is a dovish shift dressed up in academic language. And Michael Burry's warning about AI trade concentration is worth keeping in your back pocket, not as a prediction that disaster is imminent, but as a reminder that the assumptions underneath the current infrastructure build-out are not stress-tested the way most people think they are.
We should also note our time capsule moment before we wrap. Regular listeners may remember that a few months ago on this show, we described Ukraine hitting Russian ships in the Caspian Sea as evidence of Kyiv's expanding long-range strike capabilities. That claim was wrong, and it was wrong in an embarrassing way. The Caspian Sea is a landlocked body of water thousands of kilometers from Ukrainian-controlled territory, and no such strikes occurred. We said something that was not verifiable and did not catch it. We are flagging it now because getting things wrong and acknowledging it explicitly is the only way to keep you trusting us when we get things right.
Epistemic accountability. It is not comfortable, but it matters.
Every segment we produce is designed to stand on its own. If something we covered today resonates with you, share that segment directly. You do not need the full episode context to get value from any individual piece.
And we want to say something genuine before we sign off. This podcast is made possible in a very real way by Claude Code from Anthropic, which handles the production automation and scripting infrastructure that used to require a full production team, and by Perplexity, which lets us discover and research what is actually trending in real time. We are two hosts with a lot of opinions and a small operation, and the fact that tools like these exist means we can produce something that we hope feels professional and substantive. That is not a sponsorship read. It is just true, and we think it is worth saying.
The world we covered today, Hormuz, Pyongyang, Jackson Hole, the midterms, will keep moving through the week. We will be back Monday morning with whatever it looks like by then. I'm Sarah Chen.
I'm Marcus Rodriguez. See you Monday.